and throw me in solitary confinement for nothing? What do you think's going to happen when I get out of here?
Crimecast number 3.
Andy Khan.
Hey, Mr. Khan?
Yes.
If you had time for a radio interview.
Who is this?
My name is Matthew, and I work for a syndicated radio show. And we wanted to talk about victims' rights.
What show, sir?
It's called Three Ring Radio.
It's what?
Three Ring Radio.
Where is it?
Well, I'm in Indiana. It's a syndicated show. It's broadcast over the internet, and it's really the content that we're, you know, rather than the radio station, we just wanted to talk to you about your stance on victims' rights and such.
What type of questions would you be asking?
I guess the typical questions you're asked about what you do and your stance on things and how you're the person who had I believe this is correct. You changed eBay's policies, or you helped with that. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
sale of murderabilia.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So you think it'd be possible to talk with you?
I tell you what. Can you email me a list of subject matters you want to talk about and questions?
Well, we could, but I think, is there something that you don't want to talk about?
No, it just, your opening really puzzled me. I get a lot of strange phone calls, okay?
Sure, and we're just curious folks. We just wanted to ask you some questions. I mean, that's all it is. I can tell you the folks, we're not going to want to submit a list of questions because it's not like that. It's just questions that come out of our own curiosity, and I'm wondering if you have a...
And where does this go to?
The radio show?
Yeah.
All over the world. It's broadcast on the internet as well as about 16, 17 stations in the United States. It's just a talk radio, and I'm just asking if you have a problem with any questions.
No, the reason I'm asking is I get a lot of strange inquiries, particularly from anti-death penalty folks.
Oh, well, you know, we're pro-death penalty here.
I'm just saying, and a lot of times they'll come across, and then all of a sudden they'll zap you with some stuff like that, and so I'm just a bit leery, if you can understand.
I understand that for sure. We're not going to talk, everyone in this room is pro-death penalty, so... And you're from Texas, so I guess that we would just assume that you are too.
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that kind of stuff. I wonder, I guess the biggest question would be why you would want to punish people that have not done any crime by taking away people's rights to buy.
Okay, so that's where this is coming from.
Well, it's coming from just, that's a curious point. Sure, I just recently did an interview with the prosecutor who put John Wayne Gacy to death. And he had no problem talking to us, and he's pro-death penalty. And
the impetus for doing this interview is my efforts to curb the sale of this industry of murderabilia, right?
No, I applaud your efforts to do that. I just wonder why it's not started in the penal system rather than the civil system. Why am I affected by that, and why isn't it stopped?
That's a good question. Matter of fact, I'm firing off a letter right now to our prisons asking them to enforce their policy of not allowing businesses without their approval.
Yeah, I published a book with John Wayne Gacy. That's how I got to talk with the prosecutor.
And your name?
My name's Shane.
Shane, is it Bugbee?
Yes.
Okay, I've run into your name before.
Well, that's great, and you. And my thing is, my whole issue is, when I bought the first Gacy painting from him, I wondered why I wanted it, and I had it on the wall, and I stared at it for like a week. And I figured out it wasn't that a killer did it. It was that it was a state-approved painting, which really twisted me up. It was like it was approved by my governor, because he let the guy paint. And as far as I'm concerned, he should have never been able to be given paints and a paintbrush in the first place.
Make a very valid point. I agree.
Well, and yeah, my whole problem with the Gacy thing was that I dealt with Gacy on a personal level, and I got to hear him say how he painted, and it was something he could relive sexually, and he enjoyed upsetting the victims. And that was really bothersome for me to hear that.
Let me ask you this, Shane, just for my own curiosity. Did anybody make any attempts or efforts to shut him down? Or was that just accepted back then?
Gacy? No one ever made any attempts to shut him down. As a matter of fact, Gacy used to, he used to employ half of the prison staff. He made so much money. There was even, he would pay off the guards to leave him in rooms with young men visitors so he could pull his pants down and intimidate them and chase them around the room with his pants off. And there was even rumors that he was paying one of the guards to give him oral sex. That's how deplorable that kind of stuff is. And then when you see a Richard Speck video where the guy's doing cocaine, has tits, and it's just amazing what goes on in the penitentiaries. So that's what bothers me, is why folks like Andy Gore. I know you know A.D. Gore, Satan Sideshow.
Yeah.
He's an artist, and he's expressing himself through this stuff. And that's what bothers me, is why he is, as an artist, he's stifled when he's done nothing wrong.
Why is he stifled?
Well, because he can't sell his products on eBay. There's laws being made or trying to be made, and it seems like you're going after the wrong people. And this.
Right, now, what we did was actually we could have cared less about people like Gore or manufactured items, because you know that'd be a waste of anybody's time to even go after manufactured items. So I don't know why eBay took it a further step. Our issue was personalized items that were produced by convicted killers.
But you see where I'm coming from. Why would you start with eBay, not the penal system? It seems like it just seems wrong to me, almost like it's sensationalistic.
Well, actually, we didn't start with eBay. eBay ended up doing that on their own. They refused for 2 years.
Right, but you did start a campaign, a letter-writing campaign against eBay, am I right?
No.
Did you say no?
No, never did. Nope, never did.
At the beginning of the call, I credited you with shutting down eBay, and you took credit for that.
I took credit for it because eBay eventually bowed to our pressure, but it had nothing to do with any letter-writing campaign or anything of that. It had to do with a 2020 segment, I think.
What pressure? Go ahead. What
was the pressure that you put on them?
I don't know if you would say pressure. There was just a lot of national coverage on the issue. And because they're obviously the largest internet auction site, that was where most of the buying and selling was coming from. And my best guess as to why they suddenly reversed their policy was because there was a national story on ABC's 2020 about to air. And 2 weeks before the segment was scheduled to air, they sent out a news release stating they would no longer allow the sale of murderabilia out of respect for victims' families. Frankly, probably you and I could both guess that probably was not the reason why.
Right, you're saying it's the news story that would have came out and sort of...
They'll never state it, but, you know, just being a little cynical, the timing of it, it just seemed just a little bit too coincidental for me.
Well, that was sort of a wasted effort because, like I said, it should be like in the penal system if they couldn't...
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Right, but I'm wondering why you would start with innocent people.
Who is innocent?
Well, if I wanted to buy a lock of John Wayne Gacy's hair, and that's not...
Then you go sell it on your website.
Right, but I'm...
Go ahead. Nobody's stopping you from that. This was a decision that eBay made.
Sure, but it's a dangerous...
Your beef is with eBay, not with me. If eBay had any, you know, any stance, they could have stated, hey, it's the law. If you do something about it, fine.
Right, but it sets a precedent, and then after that happened, I heard a lot of legislators and stuff wanting to start laws against people who bought or sold true crime artifacts or whatever. And it just seems, and I'm not saying those laws aren't right or wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying it seems like you skipped A, B, C, D, and E and went right to F. And it's like odd that the prisoners can create and sell their pubic hairs or toenails to people, but I can't buy it now, and I'm not doing a damn thing wrong but being weird.
You can buy it all you want. You just can't sell it for a profit. You can buy all you want.
That seems to go against our whole capitalistic society here, that I can't sell things for a profit that I obtain legally.
Well, you know, sometimes that's where you got to draw the line, and I think the issue of being able to profit from your notoriety that you receive by committing some of the most horrible and gruesome acts known to mankind, you got to take a stand somewhere.
I was wondering where you stand on, I wish I had the actual story, but there is a case like in, I think it was in Cleveland or Cincinnati, where a guy was caught, somebody reported him because they found his own purse for he was writing fictitious kiddie porn segments in there. Do you know about this one? And then he was arrested and charged?
No, I don't.
How do you feel about that, just about the expression? Do you feel it induces crime? Should it be stopped? I mean, what about kiddie porn that's put together on a computer, not real actors? Something like that.
I'd have to look at it on a case-by-case merit system.
Do you have any kind of ambitions to run for any kind of office?
Not in my wildest dreams. I get too much done doing what I'm doing.
Oh, did you say not in your wildest dreams?
Not in my wildest dreams. I get too much done doing what I'm doing in my position.
So you're happy that in like in 10 years we're not going to see you running for the governor of Texas or anything?
Not in my lifetime.
Because that's what the first thing I thought of when I see that... That you're going after eBay, like high-profile things. I say, why don't they start in the prisons? You know, why would they start there? Why are they going after...
That's what I'm doing right now.
Which is great. That's admirable. I just, you know, it seems...
It's right here as you called. There's a letter right here on my computer getting ready to go out.
And who are you sending that to?
Sending it to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice.
Right on. So, well...
How does a guy like Richard Speck get to... take hormone treatment to grow tits and become a prison punk?
That's a question you'll have to ask the Illinois authorities. Good question. How do they allow it? Correct.
And so you're...
That's what I'm asking our prisons right here, is we have a policy in Texas, and I'm sure there's in other states, I don't know about Illinois, but policy is that you can't operate a business without their approval. So selling items to people like yourself, right?
Right.
Is considered a business, right?
Sure, but there's loopholes around that.
Okay, but it's a business, right? They're not doing it for nothing, right?
Some. I mean, Dorothea Puente did it for nothing.
Okay, some might be doing it for nothing, but I'm sure for the good percentage of them, they're getting something out of it, right?
Sure.
Okay, so my question to our authorities is, do they have your approval to operate this business, yes or no, right?
Yes.
So if they have approval to do this, of course, there's going to be people scratching their head, just like you would be for Gacy, wondering why they gave them permission, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing right now as we speak.
So you have no problem with me buying and selling artifacts? Is that?
I have no problem with you buying it.
Oh, you have a problem with me selling it?
Yeah.
Now, why is that? I've done nothing wrong.
I just don't think you should be able to make money off of people committing gruesome acts.
Well, there comes a point where it becomes...
They're personalized items.
It becomes a historical relic after a certain point, too. I mean...
Yeah, as long as they're living and breathing, that'll go with. You're talking about people like Bonnie and Clyde and stuff like that? No.
Really?
I'll agree with you on that.
It seems like a misplaced...
I got some guy here, the railway killer, for example, right here.
That's the Hernandez guy or something?
Angel Resendez Ramirez, right?
Right. I hear he sells...
Who's got a gigantic, huge ego, loves attention, seeks attention, publicly states I'm famous. If I want to sell somebody my painting, who's going to stop me? Yeah, I'm going to make every attempt to put a stop to you.
You see, the thing I have,
it's a fascinating issue because, like you're alluding to, it embroils every element that you'd want, from First Amendment rights to free enterprise to victims' rights.
It does, and the thing I get is, I guess it appalls me that Gacy had 16 years of appeals. I think the guy should have been put to death within a year of him being found guilty.
Yeah. Well, times are different now, too. Timing is everything, and the time period of when your sentence factors into everything. And also where you were sentenced as well. I mean, obviously, the differences between, like, Scott Peterson getting death penalty in California and getting death penalty in Texas is like night and day, right?
Oh, yeah, you guys actually
follow through on what we say you're going to get, as opposed to California and whatever, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
It depends on where you're at.
But how is Amber Frey's book so different than... a John Wayne Gacy painting being sold.
Exactly.
You want to compare Amber Frey to John Wayne Gacy?
Well, you're profiting from a gruesome act.
Amber Frey is an innocent victim and did absolutely nothing but do the right thing.
So they say.
I mean, we're not so sure.
Well, then...
But she is innocent, technically he's right, but it's still a sort of sort of a weird thing to have her on Oprah. And
stuff. She didn't kill anybody.
But she's still profiting off of Lacey Peterson's murder the same way, let's say, Shane would be if he were to sell a Gacy painting to someone. That seems like the same kind of profit. It seems almost like a misplaced focus. Who cares about what they're creating? It's the fact that they're still alive.
I think her story is mostly about her and her involvement with Peterson and law enforcement. It had nothing to do with Lacey Peterson.
But that book wouldn't be relevant if there wasn't a dead baby and a dead woman involved there. That book would
probably wouldn't have been relevant if she didn't come forward either, too.
Right.
Yeah, but Shane is just as...
arguments between Gacy and Amber Fry, I think, is a big
It's not
threat.
Between Gacy
you're right,
and Amber Fry.
No, you're right. The comparison is apples and oranges. You're absolutely right, but at the...
Here's where we come from. When we deal with victims' families, okay, from a victim's perspective, there's nothing more nauseating and disgusting than to find out that the person who murdered one of your loved ones now has items being hawked by third parties, like yourself, for pure profit. They are of the opinion that they shouldn't be able to capitalize on the infamy they received by murdering somebody.
But I'm just as nauseated as John Walsh building a whole television persona based on his son being murdered.
Building a television persona on that? Let's see, John Walsh fought for... I can't tell you how many different victims' rights.
Yeah, but he's making millions upon millions of dollars based on his son being... It is... You can see where we're coming from, we're not putting him down necessarily, but it is a weird thing. He is profiting. He is making money off of a heinous act.
Well, I'd rather have John Walsh than some other journalist who doesn't have any personalized involvement doing it, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't, because I don't think I'm much different than John Walsh. I put things out and I...
Do you think that John Walsh is selling stuff from Otis Tool, or...
It wouldn't matter if he was. He does speak Otis Tool's name often enough where Otis Tool's family should probably receive some sort of royalties. He uses that name so much. It's to me, he's... I think that's a really gross thing to have a talk show host that had a son was raped.
His talk show is no longer on the air.
Well, America's Most Wanted, to have him a host of a show like that is just bizarre to me. It's very exploitive, very tabloid style.
No, he's symbolizes his figure of violent crime.
And Amber Fry symbolizes a victim or something? I don't see the difference. I was on Queen Latifah. And the thing I had an issue with was she was talking about how I exploit this stuff. And I don't see me being anything different than her. I guess the big difference is she's making $100,000 a commercial minute, and I'm making like $10 on a book.
I mean, nobody would care what Amber Fry or John Walsh had to say were they not part of some kind of heinous crime.
I guess from our age or our generation...
Here's the deal. Crime victims are the only unwilling participants in the criminal justice system, okay?
No, we see...
Everyone else chose their role. John Walsh never wanted to be a victim, okay?
Yeah, but he is, and he exploits...
He didn't want to be.
And then you see macaroni and cheese commercials sold in between, you know, him talking about a rape and murder of a child. It's bizarre. There's hypocrisy there where, you know, that's just what we see. I'm not the only one. I mean, the interview I did with
Why don't you try to get eBay to reverse their policy?
Obviously it's not a popular thing. As well as I do, the same reason they didn't admit to doing it. For all those that pressure is
popular, then why did it take eBay so long to ultimately bow to so-called pressure? Why didn't they immediately say, "Oh God, Mr. Khan, thanks for bringing this to our attention. We'll get this off immediately." That wasn't so.
How long and how much pressure did it take, really?
That's something that they'll have to answer. I don't know. It took over
a long time. I mean, you guys went at it for a couple of years. They didn't crack as easy as some people cracked just from a couple letters from the Christian Coalition or what have you. I mean, they cracked a couple of years later, and it seemed like when they were selling the place, because they were going to start advertising eBay and CBS for Christmas.
eBay allows manufactured items, right?
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Not all of them. Not T-shirts. They're very...
Really?
It's on a case-by-case thing. Andy can't sell his stuff on there, and I consider Andy's stuff a statement and artwork. I don't consider it as exploitive. I don't see any difference in Andy, me, or John Walsh. I just see us making different kinds of money.
There's a big difference.
Well, like I said, the prosecutor...
Did you lose a loved one as a result of being a victim of a violent crime?
My wife did. She's a part of the SPAC victim.
Did you lose a loved one as a result of being a victim of a violent crime?
My family has. My wife, in this household we have, I had to deal with her father's... what was it?
My father's cousin was Mary Ann Jordan, who was one of the nurses
Hold
killed
on
by Richard
Speck. Hold on one second,
Speck.
I got to take this call. Andy Kahn? Hey, Bart. May Creek. Mm-hmm.
Talking to Bart.
Okay. Hastings at 5:30? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Hastings at 5:30. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So this household here, my family, this household, we do profit from that, and we have had a death in the family due to that.
Mr. Kahn, my father's cousin was Mary Ann Jordan, I was saying.
Who am I speaking with?
My name is Amy.
Amy what?
Bugby.
Okay.
My father's cousin was Mary Ann Jordan. She was killed by Richard Speck. Now, my father's family, they didn't care about artwork or artifacts or things like that coming out of the prison. That seemed to be pointless to them. They didn't care. They weren't offended. What they were offended by was having to go to parole hearing after parole hearing.
Right.
That this man might get out of prison, having to relive this whole tragedy over and over. There's not one of her immediate family that is still alive. Her brother's dead. Her parents died very young.
You know, we started
and it had nothing to do with
that.
The artifacts. It had to do with the fact that this man was alive and in prison and able to, you know, go to a parole hearing, which should be done.
We started doing, Amy, we started videotaping victims because, like you alluded to, the fact that they're not going to be around forever, right?
Right.
So we created what's called a parole video impact statement where we tape family members so that tape is forever preserved. So when the person comes up for parole, if they can't make it or if they're deceased or whatever, that tape is always on record.
Well, I think that's an honorable thing. I think, but the real issue was that this man was up for parole. He should have been executed 60 days after he was convicted. I think all these people should be executed immediately after their conviction. That's the problem with our justice system. Why on earth are these people allowed to stay alive and paint and draw and write stories and make phone calls and be even offered parole or a parole hearing for that matter? It just seems like the artifacts.
Why don't you try to change Illinois' law as for violent offenders being eligible for parole?
We're like the rest of the lower middle class, overworked and underpaid.
Yeah, I mean, when I try to...
That's your job to do that, and the Illinois people and the Indiana people's job to do that. And when we see people going after eBay, it just seems crazy to us that they're not going after the criminals. They're going after people that are... If we had nothing to sell, there would be no market. That would be... I mean, maybe there'd be a market, but there'd be nothing to sell.
You have a website, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so if I went and did a Google search on serial killer art, it would pop up, right?
Sure, some of the stuff, for sure.
So there's a way for people to get to you, right?
Well, you're trying to stop that, though, and you don't agree with it. And there are legislators trying to stop my my rights as a law-abiding
free
citizen.
Free enterprise system.
Yeah, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I haven't hurt anyone. I'm just...
So are you saying there's proposed laws in Indiana and Illinois?
Well, there are around the country, and those precedents will spread like a cancer.
Okay.
I think they're misguided. I think really it takes the heat away from politicians that are sitting on their hands, playing politics, spending a whole hell of a lot of money to get reelected, and not doing a damn thing about folks like a Marianne Jordan's family. They're not doing anything for the victims. And you seem like someone who is...
Do we do a lot for them in Texas?
You seem to be one person that seems to be genuine. I've questioned your motives before, but you say you're not running for office. You seem to be genuine, but you're the oddball out, it seems.
I've been doing this for 12 years.
But you'd agree with us that you're the oddball out, don't you?
I don't know, because I can't speak for other people.
Well, you see the system, and no one else is doing what you do. No one else has made a mark on this whole thing like you.
That's true.
And and also that the Gacy prosecutor came in here and he agreed with me. I'm no different than John Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any difference in it.
I commend the state of Texas for the fact that they do actually execute their violent criminals, but how long does it take on average? Usually a couple of years, at least.
Eight years to 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, those horrible people should be, as soon as they're convicted, they should be taken out to the galleys.
You want to make sure the appeals process works. You don't want to make sure you don't want to do it that quick.
Why is that?
Because you want to make sure that other courts take a look at the record and make sure that is indeed, there is no stone unturned. Because God forbid if you did execute an innocent person, you wouldn't want that on your head, would you?
Well, we had that problem in Illinois where our governor just released...
And frankly, from my perspective, that should have been done on a case-by-case, not a blanket.
It seems odd, though. I mean, if you commit a minor crime and you go to court and you're convicted, the chance of you winning an appeal is nil. But if you commit a horrible, heinous act, you can get an appeal after appeal after appeal. I mean, if there was enough to convict them, execute them. If we accidentally execute a couple innocent people, well, so be it.
Well, not here. You get one appeal. You get one shot at it.
But still, 8 years. 8 years is an extremely long time.
Well, not actually, considering other states, it's considered actually a very short time here.
Well, that's true, though. Gacy had 16 years.
Yep. I understand.
Which is amazing, amazing.
Seems like 60 days is ample.
Well, yeah,
we should put more money into prosecuting and making sure the evidence is solid. And not these appeals are crazy.
Oh, that's why I was laughing when Scott Peterson got the death penalty, because that was probably the best thing in the world that could happen to him, because they're not going to execute him.
So you don't think he'll get out on appeal? I was surprised he got convicted in California at all. It seems like you have to have a videotape of a knife going in to get a conviction there.
Yeah, it's high-profile cases in California normally don't come out that way. You're right.
Yeah, good-looking media people like that. You know, they never put the ugly people on TV. You know, the people that look guilty.
I don't know. We had a serial killer trial that was covered by court TV in between the Peterson trial up in Michigan, poor Eugene Watts.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, we were in Michigan for that one.
Why were you up in Michigan for that?
Because I've been with the families for 12 years trying to prevent his release. He was going to be released.
Is he from Texas?
Originally from Michigan, but he committed 12 murders here in Houston.
Okay, now I see. Who do you see as the biggest problem in the court system now as far as, is that the railroad killer that you were talking about?
Biggest problem in what?
Well, in this whole marketing, them selling their wares outside of the prison.
Texas?
All over the country. Who's the worst? Who's really selling them their stuff? Who's making a ton of money?
I don't know.
Have you seen the Dorothea cookbook?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you seen the Dorothea Puente cookbook that I put out?
No. You want to send it to me?
I would love to.
Great. Okay. Let me give you my address.
I have it.
Okay.
And so you wrote a letter to Dorothy about that cookbook. Am I right?
Did I write a letter to Dorothy? I don't think so.
She sent me a letter that you sent her a letter about something about Chicago at night and you wanted to know the details.
I sent about 20 letters. This was back in, I think 2000.
Right.
20 letters to a variety of killers all over the country asking them if they knew this stuff was being sold and what they think about it.
Right, Dorothea sent me the letter. I can tell you our deal,
okay, so she was one of the eight that didn't respond then.
Right, she sent me your letter. But I'd like to answer your letter and tell you what she got out of the book.
Okay.
You know, she didn't get any, she gave me everything just for companionship.
Interesting responses, let me tell you.
Yeah, she just gave me the stuff because she wanted someone to take her phone calls. I never paid her a dime.
Okay, well,
that's the honest truth. I mean, if you look over her record, she never received money from us.
Okay.
So, what were the interesting responses from your letter? Were what?
Well, most of them claimed they were unaware that people were selling their goods.
Did they also tell you they were 100% innocent of their crimes?
No,
it's funny. Everyone in prison's innocent, aren't they?
Not everyone, no.
But that's what they say, convicts. I'm not saying they are innocent. I guess convicts in jail, commonly say, I'm innocent.
some responses by David Berkowitz, Susan Atkins. Actually, they wrote great letters to me.
Do you want to sell any of those?
Nope, I promised them total confidentiality.
Well, those two still divert blame, too. David Berkowitz claims a satanic cult was behind it, and Susan Atkins, I mean, doesn't she blame Charlie?
Yeah, in part. Mm-hmm. But they were none too keen to find out people were selling their stuff.
There was one thing I wanted to clarify, though. Like, Jack the Ripper memorabilia, H.H. Holmes, that's okay because the families are dead?
History.
Because it's history.
History.
But at what point, you know, as long as there's not a family line?
Not a living relic to it.
Well, I mean...
Bonnie and Clyde, right?
Well, a living relative that was alive at the time of the crimes, or just the bloodline who can be...
How about the offender? So, you know, that'd be like saying, how come any one of Gacy's victims hasn't done anything, right? Right?
What was that?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've not seen any of John Wayne Gacy's victims protest any of these sales.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, when I first started to do the book and stuff, I had one of them walk into my store with a gun in his waistband and show me that after I had a discussion with him. And he says that I came here to shoot you after I was on a show with Danny Bonaducci. And he came in the store really hot-headed, and I said...
On a show with Danny Bonaducci? Wow.
Funny, huh? He had me on about Gacy. He actually tried to steal a Gacy painting from me. It was a hoot. He said, I'll just hold on to this for a couple days. I said, partner, a COD. So I'm on the show, and then next day someone comes in the store. Where's Shane Bugby? I say, how can I help you? And he goes, are you Shane? I go, I am. And he goes, you sell these Gacy paintings, huh? And you sell the Gacy book? And I said, I do. And he goes, I happen to be one of the victims. And I said, you look upset. And he goes, yeah, I'm really pissed off at you. And I said, don't you find it rather odd that you're mad at me and not like the parole board or the people, the person who runs the prisons, the governor? These are the people who gave him the okay to give me this stuff. You see, I'm just, I sell it and I consider it almost a political statement to be able to sell this stuff. I think it shows the hypocrisy in government. And that's truly what my fascination with a lot of this stuff is. The reason I did a cookbook, the appointment...
It's an issue you can see from all sides. You can debate it from here to eternity. And that's the beauty of the issue.
It is a beautiful issue, isn't it?
It is. It covers every element you'd ever want.
And there's not really any solid answers, are there?
No, there's not. It's you're damned if you do, damned if you don't on this.
Ideally, what would you like to see happen with these prisoners?
Well, I don't think they should be allowed to operate businesses unless the prison authorities gave them approval.
You think it's okay for them to paint?
They can paint all they want. Paint all they want, just not sell it.
But Gacy never sold it. He gave it to his mom. He gave it to his nephew as a gift. They were all gifts.
Another
thing. People like Rick Staton, who was his dealer, right?
I was the first person to buy and sell a Gacy painting. And I can tell you, I dealt with Gacy's mom and his nephew and Rick and all of them. Rick was a person that came about 2 years after me. I didn't do it on such a high profile as Rick. But I can tell you, Gacy never sold any, he didn't have a business. And Illinois did try to stop him from the business thing. And he said, these are gifts. I paint them. And I give them to my mom. See, I painted this for my mom, I paint this. And that's how he got away with a lot of it.
Peyton goes on the record saying that he kept 30% and the other percent went to Gacy. You're telling me that's false?
Who, Rick Staton said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying it's false. I'm saying Gacy had a loophole in the rules.
Yeah.
Well, Gacy had that loophole.
But what about people who are getting letters from these people? There's no money being made when someone in prison writes a letter and sends it to someone.
Oh,
so what's wrong?
Turns around and sells it because of the notoriety the person who wrote it achieves, then sure they're making money, right?
But that's the recipient of the letter making the money, not the killer.
Oh, we don't know that, do we? Because we don't know if somebody contacted ex-killer and said, write me this letter. I'll turn around and sell it, and I'll give you half. We don't know that, do we?
But you do because you have an accounting of his funds in his prison. He shouldn't be allowed to take in...
We don't know if he's third-parting the funds, do we?
But you can make rules to say you're only allowed to have so much money.
We don't know any of that. For example, let's say John Wayne King, who's the Jasper Dragging death, right?
Okay.
I mean, we don't know if he sends stuff out to a girlfriend or whatever, right? out there, turns around and sells it to somebody, right? We don't know that.
But we do know how much money these people have. I mean, they're in the prison system, don't they? Can't they just go in and check their cell for their money? Can they have a bank account? How does that work?
Have trust funds, yep.
Yeah, but I mean, they're giving it to their grandma, and their grandma's selling it. Those people are innocent. It's the person sending them out of the prison. I mean, it seems...
If they shouldn't be allowed to sell that, then they shouldn't be allowed to write a letter or draw a picture.
I mean, look what they've done to Charles Manson. They put him in solitary confinement because anything he touches, he can sell. They sell for a mad amount of money.
So, right. He's the number one biggest prolific wheeler and dealer, right?
Right. But he doesn't take any of the money. He lets it for the family people. But what I'm saying is they went to...
Why don't we give the money to the victims' families? Why don't we do that?
You can do whatever you want. Right, you can, but I'm saying it seems odd that he can't write a letter in prison. He can't communicate or make phone calls because he's such a...
Write a letter, just don't sell it.
Right, he can't even make phone calls, though, because the recordings of the phone calls could be sold for thousands of dollars. I mean, he's stopped so much. The problem here is now you've created this icon up top of what they was created because he is being shut down. He can't talk on the phone, and that makes him larger than life.
I'm surprised the ACLU hasn't jumped on that one.
Oh, they haven't, but I'm surprised too, but they don't, and probably because it's Charles Manson. They don't want to fuck up their...
They shouldn't treat Manson any differently than any other inmate, right?
Yeah, but they're like eBay. They don't want to mess up their donations. You know, it's like protecting Hitler. You know, the ACLU's like that. They're political as everyone else.
Well, we can argue this to death. Any other questions?
You know, I respect where you're coming from, whether I agree with you or not, because you seem to have thought it out pretty thoroughly.
Same here. I think we respect each other's right to disagree. You bet.
Mr. Khan, thanks a lot for taking time with us. It was really...
really informative.
Yeah, really informative. Thanks.
Anytime. Feel free to give me a shout anytime.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good luck. Bye-bye.